Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Naca tu verga.
That's so stupid.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kashow.
Oh my gosh, we're back. And it feels good. It feels good.
We are estrenando nuevo estudio.
New studio here at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
That's right. We are recording here from my humble office.
Very humble.
Super humble. Super califragilistico espirali humble.
Oh my gosh. And I think they took the asbestos out of this building.
This is, I think, one of the oldest buildings of the whole university.
It is the oldest building at UNLV.
So what is it,
1950, mid-50s, yeah.
For Vegas, that's like biblical times.
Yes.
It's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what did you eat today?
Well, you know, you want to know something? I actually didn't go out today. Usually I have lunch with friends. Mm-hmm. So I had like, you know, like when you have all this shit going bad in your fridge and you're like, I better make something or it's going to go bad. That's what I did today.
You're much better about that than I am.
But I'm like a fucking garbage disposal. So I had papaya and I had I have a bunch of coconut milk.
Uh-huh.
And then I have oatmeal, right?
Y lo moliste todo.
So I made like oatmeal with papaya in it for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And then for lunch. I bought, I had a bunch of chiles. So like chiles, what are the chiles? Mira los chilotes.
Mira los chilotes.
I forgot about that video.
What are the chiles that you use for chile relleno?
Chile poblano.
I had three chile poblanos, mm-hmm. two jalapenos, and then I had onions. So I'm like, oh, I can make a quick stir fry.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I remembered that I had like coconut milk, like in a can, like condensed, you know, like to make curry.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, maybe with these peppers, I can make a curry because I had leftover rice from the Chinese food.
Oh my God, you're so crafty.
I made a green pepper, jalapeno, green pepper, and poblano pepper curry. Over rice. That's what I had for lunch today. Get into it.
Damn, that sounds... I don't know how that sounds.
It was delicious.
I had a Tic Tac.
Okay.
No, I had my usual. I wake what? Up and I have my cappuccino, but I was running because I had to go to the Cairo because I have lower back problems. No me preguntes nada.
Because you're old, bitch. That's
and
why.
Then, and then after that, the Cairo fixed me. And I just had
a Cairo fix my life.
I had a cheese Danish with my mocha. I haven't had a mocha in like 2 weeks. So that was very nice.
You're living your white girl fantasy.
Actually, girl, I started losing weight. I started losing weight after not drinking my mochas every morning. I noticed that. So I just need to stop my beers at night. But anyway, so cheese Danish. And then in the afternoon, I had a sandwich from a bagel company.
Oh, really?
And actually, that's a company. That was my first job.
Where?
Serving bagels. At Einstein's Bagels.
Einstein Bagels?
That was my
How
very
old
first
were you?
Job. I was 17?
17, huh?
See, I was 17.
Okay. So you were still in high school? Or you were just out of high school?
I was fresh out of high school. It was here in Vegas that I had my... technically, my uncles let me work with them. So, but you know, it's like summer jobs and
yeah.
I remember like my uncle has a Volkswagen shop. Shout out to my family in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And I learned how to change the oil in the cars and I would just clean. Yes.
So butch. Wow.
But like a real job with an actual paycheck, that was it.
Einstein's Bagels.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So yeah. What? So you totally skipped over what you got at Einstein's.
Oh, that's right. I had a breakfast sandwich with dos huevos con la yema seca. I know, gross.
What? What does that mean?
La yema está seca. Like, it's not like you bite it and then it like it drips.
Over hard?
I guess.
Mm, okay.
And then
some people just want to act wrong, I guess. Why would you order that?
Because I love eggs and I wanted eggs and I was in school and that was the only eggs available in school.
But if you're going to get a fried egg, why not just get it scrambled? I mean, if you're going to fry an egg like that, why not just get it
scrambled? Because that's how they serve it. I'm not going to have them scrambled.
They don't make it runny?
No, girl, they put that shit on the microwave.
Oh, like, yeah, you're right, you're right.
And then, what?
Did you see?
What?
Taco Bell.
No.
Beach. No. Listen.
Okay.
You know I'm an advocate for Taco Bell, but this time they've gone too far. They make a shell now, and instead of using a taco shell,
huevo.
They use a huevo
down,
as a shell.
Down, down, down.
They probably got the idea from eating that dry ass egg from Einstein bagels.
Fucking Einstein's bagels. And he had, ¿qué más tenía? Sausage.
Oh, nice.
Or as my mom says, a shashish.
A shashish.
And then a side of cream cheese y sesame bagel. Y como dice mi jefa, y párale de contar. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Since this is a Guara Guara episode, yes. Let's just get into it. Let's get into your first jobs.
Down.
So Einstein Bagels, how was it working there? First of all, how long did you last?
Oh, I actually got hired in two places at the same time. Mm. I got hired at Brooks Brothers. Remember that store?
Yes.
Or Brookstone.
Girl, I don't know.
Anyway. And you know what's funny?
Brookstone. I was going to Brookstone and I'm like, what do they sell here? I don't understand the store.
I never bought a single thing in that store. So I got hired there and I got hired at Einstein's and I was like, nope, I want to know what serving food is. So I took the Einstein's Bagels job, even though they paid like 50 cents less than the other job.
Damn.
I know. And well, you know what's funny? You know who hired me, Brookstone? My ex-exes.
Your ex's ex.
Hired me, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a small world.
Just for texture, little detail.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So I started Einstein Bagels. I fucking loved it. I learned my vegetables in English because I didn't know. I'm like, what is this? It's like cebollas what? Verdes, like cebollitas.
Green onions?
It's like scallions. I'm like, ooh, fancy. I learned to hate lox. Like,
the fish?
Sí, pero el que está como salteado, like...
Lox.
Yeah, lox.
Isn't it salmon?
It's salmon, but it's like salted, no? Like, como curado.
Yeah. I don't fuck with that, but yeah, I got you.
My fingers will smell like weeks. Like.
No, thank you, no.
No me piace.
No.
And I learned my vegetables. The first time I had a Red Bull was working at Einstein's. You know, remember they used to bring those like Volkswagens and they would just to give everybody free Red Bulls when they were promoting that, like back in the day?
Yeah.
So they came in and they're like, do you want one? Sure. So I drank that shit just like glue, glue, glue. Girl, I was taking five orders at the time. Like, ¿qué quiere usted? ¿Qué quiere usted? ¿Qué quiere usted? ¿Qué quiere usted? And I would just like five bagels at the time. And I'm smear, 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 smear. Boom, 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 boom. I was a rocket. And then after that, I just fell asleep.
Damn.
It's like I did coke for the first
time. Can I just say, have you actually done coke?
Sure.
No comment? Okay.
I did it once.
Okay,
it was
so
horrible.
It's not the same. It's not the same as Red Bull.
No, it wasn't. But anyway, it was fucking horrible.
So, not that I've done it. I've just read it in books. So
mentira, mentira.
So I went to, oh my god, I went to Disneyland this weekend in LA or in Anaheim, and we went to Panera Bread. Have you ever been to Panera?
That is like the whitest shit you can possibly
what
do.
What the fuck? Okay, listen to this. I got a fucking...
I don't understand. They serve food in fucking bread. Like soup in bread.
Let me finish. I ordered a fucking latte. Okay. Almond milk. Because I'm living that vegan lifestyle.
You do you, boo. You do you.
And a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Guess how much that cost me?
$12.
Yes, bitch!
Oh, my God.
You should be on the Price is Right. Damn.
That sounds like Panera Bread.
$12. I said, never again. With $12, bitch, you know how much, you know how many tacos I could get at Tacos El Gordo for $12?
Dude, that's, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
What a waste of money. And I imagine it's the same shit at that bagel place.
No, it's not that bad. I actually got a...
Is this a commercial? What?
No, it's not... It's not as bad as Panera. Like, it's pretty white, but it's not as bad as Panera. Yeah, cuz Panera is like the fancy Einstein's bagels, I guess.
Oh yeah. Anyway. It loses that, like, the Jewish struggle.
Right. You know? You know that those two characters, I think they're invented?
They're actually black. Did you know that?
They are the owners?
Well, that's who they represent, is two black people.
Really? I thought it was like a Jewish, it's a mess.
Black Jewish people exist.
No, I know, but like the story and the pictures that they put in the store, it's supposed to be like this immigrants from Europe or Eastern Europe or something like that. And they came in and they made bagels in New York and now everybody eats bagels. Anyway, so what was your first job?
Like the first that I paid taxes on or like my first job?
No, the first that you paid taxes on, that you were on the clock and that you got a paycheck y todo el pedo.
Well, in high school, I used to work at Best Buy.
That was your first job?
I used to work in the media section. So my job was to alphabetize CDs, DVDs, VHSs, and video games all day long. Like, I would just go around and help people find CDs. Because it was like when the internet started. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think there was Google. There wasn't Google yet. It was like, do you remember the internet when it was just like AOL chat? And like,
yes.
Napster and E-Bombs World.
Right.
That was the internet that existed.
Back then, yeah. So like 2001, 2000?
Yes. So people would walk in and they'd be like, oh, I want the latest...
Chumbawamba. Actually, they're a really good band. Anyway,
I don't know. Whatever the fuck was out then. And they're like, I would have to go onto the system, the Best Buy system, and find it, and then help them find it in the store. And then by like the second month I was there, I knew where everything was. So like, I was the best fucking alphabetizer and employee.
You were the best at Best Buy.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And I spoke Spanish, and I worked at the Best Buy. I still speak Spanish, but I worked at the Best Buy by the Las Vegas Strip, the one on Maryland Parkway by the big mall. So we would get a lot of international clients all the time, like all these Mexico City.
So all this world music you will sell?
No. So we would get people from Mexico City or like fancy people from Spain, and they would come in and they would need help. And I'd be the only one that spoke Spanish. So then I would be like their personal shopper, basically. Uh-huh. And people would get so pissed because they'd always tip me.
Mexicans tip.
And Mexicans fucking tip,
They do.
And so... people hated me for that, but I remember at the time I was getting paid $7.25 an hour.
You were rich.
I was like, when I got my first paycheck, I was like, I can't believe it. This is a dream come true.
I made it to America.
I get paid for this? Like, I'm learning about music. I'm learning about the alphabet, and I get a discount. It was like
the dream.
It was a dream come true.
Oh, I remember my first paycheck. It was $70, and I'm like, what am I gonna do with all this money? And then it was Sunday, and it was all gone.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. But I learned a lot working at Best Buy.
How long did you last? I lasted 8 months in my first job.
6 months.
And I, but I actually quit because I got another job.
I think I got another job too. Yeah, I had so many fucking jobs
you
in high
did?
School. Yeah, bitch. I was working.
Name 10 of them.
10 jobs?
I'm sure you have at least 10 jobs?
Sure, let's see.
Okay.
I used to sell fireworks in the summer.
Uh-huh.
I used to sell programs at NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
Because we have the Motor Speedway here.
Uh-huh.
I used to work at my uncle's mini market. Mm-hmm. I used to work at my cousin's restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And then...
shout out to Linda Michoacan.
Shout out to you. I lasted one day there. That was not for me. And then I used to work for...
Best Buy.
Uh-huh. And then... let's see. What else? Let me think. Then I used to... right after high school, mm-hmm. I used to work for a group home. So there was...
what is that?
So there's companies. So every city, every big town has these. There's companies that have group homes for especially abled or mentally disabled, you know, people. Mm-hmm. And so, and they're adults. There were adults over 25. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's four adults that live in a house. And most of them had like mild to severe autism. Mm-hmm. So I was a caretaker. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my, that was one wow. of my jobs. And then I was, then I was a roller coaster operator.
Oh, eres el que decía la voz, ¿verdad?
At the New York, New York.
Give it.
So
say it, please, bitch, say it. We want to hear it. We want to hear it.
So if, no, 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 if anybody rode the roller coaster at the New York, New York between 2004 and like 2008, my voice was the voice that you heard on the radio. Or 2010. They didn't change it for a long time.
Let's hear it.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the Manhattan Express. For your safety and the safety of others on the ride, please remove and secure all loose articles. This includes hats, keys, bags, backpacks. And then sometimes it'd be like, small children, just then everybody would chuckle like, haha, you're like
you
Disneyland.
You had to say that every single time?
So, okay, so we would have, so people would take turns doing that uh-huh. at the control panel uh-huh. or when you're a greeter. Right. And then finally, somebody got the bright fucking idea
to record it,
so that you just have to push the button. So then I would. So then they recorded me and then they put a button like at the front and at the thing and people would just push the button. And it's because damn. People were getting hella spicy on the microphone. And so they're like, oh, we're just going to record.
Like, what kind of shit would people say?
Well, because we would try. We would do it. We would like do it in accents uh-huh. or we would say stupid shit like. We would do it in accents, or we would do it in like we would say fucked up shit, like
top of the morning to ya.
Top of the morning to ya. So we would just say stupid shit, like uh-huh. and so it was all. First of all, if you ride a roller coaster, look at the people working there, and just know that it is not safe to ride any roller coaster, pretty much anywhere except for maybe like Disneyland, maybe. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. They're all like 16-year-olds.
That's true.
And your life is in their hands. We used to fuck with people so bad that the casino got sued because somebody like almost had a fucking heart attack.
Why? Because you pretended like that thing
because,
didn't fucking
bitch,
cluck.
I fucking love that click. Job. That job was boring, really boring at times, uh-huh. but it was really fun fucking with people. So like. Okay, so there was like, there was just like an unsaid rule. Like yeah. if somebody was rude to somebody. So, okay, so there was different positions, okay?
Oh my God. There's like a formula.
Yeah, and we rotated, right? Yeah. So there was greeter. Mm-hmm. So you would greet people and then help them put stuff in lockers and all that bullshit. And then they'd get in the line, in the queue. And then there's cashier. And then there's a greeter at the top of the stairs, like after the line.
Yeah.
To put you in a row. So there's that person up there. And then there was loader, like loading people mm-hmm. on both sides of the track. So two people loading. Okay, so let's go over this again.
Okay.
Greeter, uh-huh, cashier, uh-huh. greeter number two, uh-huh. then two people
loading,
uh-huh. and then the roller coaster operator at the panel.
Who will talk if...
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's one person in the back to unload everybody.
Okay.
So there's like, that's one, two, three, there's like seven people, eight people to make this whole thing. And we would okay. rotate like every 30 minutes, right? So everybody had to do every position.
Shout out to the four brothers.
Yes. Okay. So then, okay. So if somebody was rude to somebody like in the queue, mm-hmm. they'd get on the radio shit. And they'd be like, blue shirt. Blue shirt, 3 o'clock. And we'd be like 10-4. Like we knew all the radio codes, you know? And so then when it came to loading them uh-huh. on the roller coaster, uh-huh. it was the bars that come down over your, so you had a lap bar mm-hmm. and then you had the bars that came down over your shoulders.
Sí, como chaleco te queda en el pecho.
It's like it just like comes down right yes. onto your shoulders. Uh-huh. So it would be like, okay, everybody put your arms up. Okay, grab the locks and put them up, right? Mm-hmm. So then, or put them down on your shoulders, right? Uh-huh. So the lap bar would lock. And then we would go around and pull on them, mm-hmm. like one by one, to make sure that they locked. And so there's, in every seat, there's a pedal, and you could push the pedal with your foot and unlock the lock. So if somebody was a dick, we would unlock it really fast when we were walking by. And when we lifted it to check it, we would lift it up.
Uh-huh.
So that it was like off of their shoulders. You know what I mean? And then they'd be like, oh my gosh, mine didn't come down. Mine didn't come down. Help, 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 help. And we're like, and we'd be like, have a great time. Thank you for riding the Manhattan Express.
Hijo de su pinche madre.
And if they were really jerks, we would actually lift our thumbs, like thumbs up, and we would push the button. Because it was a two-button system. Uh-huh. So the loader people, uh-huh. the people loading had to push the button, uh-huh. and the control panel had to push the button for the train to actually go.
That's fucked up, man.
So we would make the train move like 3 or 4 feet with the restraints off of them.
Oh, my God.
And people would be like, stop, stop. And then we'd be like, and then everybody would look. Then we would all like pretend that we didn't see it. And be like, oh, my God, we're so sorry. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then like, boom, like slam it on their shoulders and then like send them off. We were teenagers. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because that's so fucked up. I would have fucking sued you too.
Yes, bitch. That shit would happen. That we would get so much joy. And we would... I'm telling you, don't be dick to people that work at amusement parks because they can really fuck with you.
Oh my God.
So...
I'm sure there's like all kinds of laws against that now.
Well, they did. They implemented a lot. Like, we got in serious trouble. Like, because nobody...
Alguien le dio un jarata.
Almost. Damn. Almost, yeah. It was not good. It was not good. But I really liked that job. It was fun because it was like a corporate job because it was part of the New York, which is a casino. But then it was all, like, teenagers that worked there. So I became, like, really good friends with a lot of the people. And we would all, like, go out and...
But wait, that's 7 jobs.
10?
You steal 3 more.
Oh my God. What else did I used to do? Oh my gosh. It's all like rushing back to me. I also used to be a tutor. And then I also used to be, in high school, I was a, I taught tuba lessons also.
Wow.
And then, so after school, I would leave school. Sometime, bitch, I was busy, okay? Oh, my God. Oh, I just thought of another one. Uh-huh. Okay.
That's 8.
Give me.
No, 9. You need one more.
Okay, listen to this. So sometimes I was in marching band because I'm really cool, right? So yeah. I would show up to school at like 6 in the morning. This is why I'm so tired now. I'm still tired from being then. A teenager, yeah. Okay? I would get up at 6 a.m. because I had an early bird class, which mm-hmm. was marching band. So I would go to marching band. I would do that. And then I was like, then I'd have to somehow go to school for the rest of the day, which was fucking boring as fuck. And then I'd get off of school. I'd go over to the middle school, mm-hmm. teach tuba lessons to 2 or 3 kids. And then that was like twice a week I would do that. And then sometimes I would have to go work at Best Buy right after that. And I didn't have a car.
Damn, on
the bus. So I was like on the bus or like begging my friends for rides.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Somehow I did it, right?
So it was like 6 to 10 every night.
There's this, also there's this Mormon bread store at the same time
uh-huh.
called Great Harvest. They have uh-huh. it here in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Technically, I didn't work there, but because I always went there, because a lot of my friends were Mormon in high school,
yeah.
Sometimes I would go there and work for my friends because they would like, they'd be like, hey, Favi, the manager's not here.
Can you fill in for like two hours? Yeah.
So I would go and cover shifts there. Yeah.
That's insane.
It was crazy.
You know, sometimes when I think about how, like, for example, in undergrad, how much I hustle, I couldn't do it today.
No,
I
bitch.
Remember like getting to work like around leaving my house also in the bus like at 8 in the morning, getting to work, and I would work from 10 to 6 p.m. at ¿cómo se llama? Like a store. It was called the Museum Company. So we had merchandise from different museums around the world. Girl, I remember when I got that job, I was like, that's it. I made it. Like, I came, because that was like 3 years after arriving to the States. So that job to me was like fancy as fuck. And I'm like, I'm in retail. I made it. I'm done. Like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. It was crazy.
Wow.
But I also was in, that's when I started getting into school. And I was taking up to 5 different classes. So my last class ended around 9 or 10 and then taking the bus, and I will get home like at 11 p.m. every single fucking day, working 40 hours, going over full-time time and a half in school. And yeah. I remember that's when I started gaining weight, because I wanted caffeine, so I will drink like 4 or 5 Pepsis, like just so I can keep up with, like, I needed the sugar. And one day I was like, I need to stop this. Like, I need a replacement. That's when I got into coffee. I hated coffee. Oh, but I made myself drink
coffee.
That's when
I got
into
hard drugs. Imagine. Yeah.
That's when I got into speed. No.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yes, it was insane. But I was in my dream job.
At the museum store?
The first week when we arrived to Vegas, we walked at Caesar's Palace, and I saw that store, and I was like, I want to work there.
Is that the store where Michael Jackson bought all that stuff?
Michael Jackson showed up 3 times and I was never there. Bill Clinton showed up and I wasn't there. I was, pero ayudé a la Chilindrina, a Walter Mercado.
No.
Yes. All the Hispanos, like, man, I was.
So that was your favorite first job?
Yes, because we will say anything that we will sell come with a little bit of an explanation from the museum. So I was already learning and I was all into that. Yeah, I was always a nerd. And as you say, like, all the Mexicans, all the preppy people from Mexico City will come and shop there. So again,
isn't that funny that they think Caesar's Palace is fancy?
Yeah.
And it's like so fucking tacky.
It's super tacky, but it's fucking expensive.
I love,
man.
Caesar's. I mean, don't get me wrong. You remember I worked there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked there for about 2 or 3 years. When I first met you, I had a job there. It was a pretty legit job. But
you hated it.
I hated every second of it. Shout out to the gallery at Caesar's Palace. No,
I only had a couple of jobs. I think I had like 4 or 5 jobs. That's it.
Damn.
Yeah. After that, I work at a place called La Lique, where they sell French. I know.
You're such a gay.
La Lique. wasn't that a character from Dallas?
La Lique. I don't know. Sounds like it.
They make French crystal. I did so good in sales that they sent me to France to see how they make that shit.
No, they didn't.
They did. Yeah, that was fucking fancy. Everything paid, man. We live life out loud for
what
that week.
What the fuck is Lalique? So it's
French crystal.
Crystal what?
Like crystal things, like jewelry, vases, vase. And
this
company,
is what happens when people have too much money.
Exactly. It's
they
so
just
stupid.
Buy crystal stuff.
But you know what? I gained to respect it, because when I went to this town where they make it, the whole entire town survives based on that factory. So it's like it sustained a whole entire community. So I respect that.
Yeah.
But this company started in the 20s or 30s. So we'll get all this fucking middle America, old age white people who are like, I have a Lalique from the 1930s. Can you tell me how much it is? That was like my main job. I will do that like 20 times a day. It was so fucking annoying.
Oh, so it's like
collectibles.
Swarovski, but like real.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, not done by laser, like done by hand. So like I learned.
What
I didn't
is
learn,
crystal?
Like crystal. ¿Cómo se llama, güey? Like,
you went to France, girl. Tell me.
It's like glass. It's like,
so it's like a block
like
of glass?
It's like high lead crystal that is like super, super clear. Like it looks like ice. It's like fucking beautiful. But then they develop a technique where everything is frosted. So that's when they became super, super, super famous for their frosted crystal. And when we went there, we learned how to do the frosting with like fancy sand and shit like that. It
Holy
was pretty cool.
Shit.
But in each job, I worked like 3 to 4 years before I moved into the next one, and then finally I went to grad school. The semester I went to grad school, I knew I was done, but I had to get a paycheck. I was working for another collectible store from Spain called Yadro. Super fucking gay. That whole semester I hated everybody. I stopped helping people. I wasn't selling anything because I knew that I was gonna take off and do my thing, you know. But I love retail, and then the last year, I fucking hated everything because I started to get woke, you know, like it was different.
Oh, bitch. As you take a sip from your Starbucks, get the fuck out of here.
Es lo único que hay.
So I started to get woke. You just hate people. That's not
woke. I fucking hate people, yeah.
You know, so I went to Disneyland, and I always feel like torn about going there because it's such like, it's so stupid. It's like so much money for like.
It's like a fucked up world expo is what it is.
It is. And that's why I like to go there, like to see that. So I went because I wanted to see if there was any cocoa representation. Like, I wanted to see how they represented cocoa.
Was there?
Like, Mexican culture, I couldn't find anything. The only thing that I found was a stuffed animal of Dante, the dog. And because they had taken all the cocoa.
Alebrije?
No, just like the dog.
The dog, yeah.
I guess I was upset at first because I'm like, there's no Black Panther merch or cocoa merch. Like, what the fuck? This is fucked up. But then I got to the bottom of it and the Disney people said that it's because it's all sold out.
Oh, shit.
Because it's so popular. Because they didn't think that brown people would buy stuff. So they didn't order enough. They didn't anticipate how popular those two movies were going to be.
That happens all the time.
But I mean,
we should do
all that. All that to say is that this was the first time that I didn't really. Usually I'm just like captivated by the way how perfect everything is at Disneyland. Uh-huh. And that's why I like to go. It's like research for my art. Anyway, that's what I say when I write it off on my taxes. But this time I was just like so upset at the amount of people there. And then them like spending money for no fucking reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is disgusting. And I have never seen so many strollers in my life. Like, what the fuck? Anyway.
Forget that. Like, the whole ideology behind Disneyland got me really upset last time. And I almost don't want to ever go again. But come on. Who am I kidding? Like, I can't wait to go back. But it's just all about building the nation, right? So it's all about discovering the West. So it's like about frontier. It's about exploration. It's about discovery. The whole entire thing, it's about that. And that it buys into the idea of the American dream. So it clicked. The last time I was there, within 10 minutes of being in this place and looking at the map and the titles of the different lands, I'm like, this place is fucking disgusting. And the first ride we did was It's a Small World. I'm like, I can't do this. This is fucking
terrifying.
That's
the first ride you do.
Fucking
that
terrifying.
That ride is so fucked up.
It's so messed up.
But I love it.
But the whole thing, like the whole so entire thing, it's so messed up. But we Frontier? Need to have it in it back just to talk about Disneyland because it's so shitty.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's books written about it. It's really super interesting. Really fucked up, actually.
Let's do an episode just on Disneyland.
Okay, put it down. Write it down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yeah, first jobs, man.
That's so crazy.
You know, it's amazing how many jobs I've had and that now I actually work for myself. Like, I can't.
It's a dream.
It is and it isn't. Because, like, you have to be really disciplined. And you know that I'm not.
But you are.
Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I miss, like, just, like, clocking in, clocking out.
I have to have that. Yeah.
Because now I work around the clock. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because I just have to constantly be working. So it's like, I'm just tired all the time. At least back then, I'd be like, oh, shit, I got Saturday and Sunday off or whatever, you know?
I know. I feel like my dad for a long time felt like I wasn't working because I didn't have that 9 to 5 clocking in and out. But now he sees me at night just like answering emails. Or like the other day, I left the house like around 9. I got home at 9 and then I work on the podcast and he saw me. I was like, hey, I'm just going to do some work. And I think he's getting that. We have to
our work doesn't
structure.
Stop.
Yes, structure your own schedule. I remember Kirsten. She's like, in order for them to understand, they have to go through the traumas. For example, going to grad school. That's a fucking job right there.
Yeah.
And but the Latino mentality is that you have to wake up at 6 in the morning. Que te pongan lonche, te vas a trabajar. But there's just like
case and point.
Uh huh.
When I went to school to college,
yeah,
I worked every day.
It's crazy.
I worked a full-time job.
Me too. For 10 years.
Every fucking day. Mm-hmm. Like, I would go to school, and then I would go to work.
Yeah.
Every day. Like, and then I see people now, like, I don't know. For example, my friend Thomas at NYU, who's, like, so focused on school, and that's his job. I'm like, that's what I should have been doing.
But that's what we all should be doing. But we're conditioned to go through the process of college so we can fail. Like, we're conditioned. That's why college is so fucking expensive. Yeah. That's why we're conditioned to study certain only degrees. Like, you have to be a lawyer. You have to be a doctor, which the success rate is not as common as other degrees. And that's why you have to pay for school. So the whole system is designed only for the privilege. And it's fucked up. So like it's also very commending when somebody has to go through the whole process and they actually fucking made it. Like that's even more rewarding and it's more commendable that despite the fact that the whole system is created to make you fail and you make it. That's why, for example, I'm helping here in school with a Latinx undocumented graduation because those are the people that I want to be celebrating because the system is not designed for them. And on top of everything, they make it. Like, shout out to everybody that is graduating this semester.
Hallelujah.
That has gone through all of this trials and they still put up with it. They still wake up at 6 a.m. and come home at midnight and they still doing it. Shout out to all of you because this is amazing.
Yeah, and I actually want to take this moment to thank you and LV because we've been talking shit for a while about how like Las Vegas doesn't appreciate us, but there are some badass people here at UNLV who que nos apoyan, and they are our Vegas family.
We had a presentation yesterday here at UNLV, and it was the first presentation. And you know what? I'm glad you say that because I actually texted Erica, and I was like, this is the first time that I feel like I have my community supporting
that
me.
That they got our back.
Yes. That was the first time in the years and years and years that I've been here.
Yeah.
So it felt beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Marjorie Barrick Museum, for example, Alicia Curlin works there.
Shout out, Alicia.
She always has my back, so I have felt that before. And like anytime that I speak or do a panel, like she makes sure that I get paid because she knows that it's work, you know, and they take us for granted. So shout out to our friend
Anita Revilla, who
Mujer Fiera, who's the fucking best, dude.
She is everywhere. She's doing so much work. She hired us, ask us for a salary, and didn't question it once.
Not once.
Not once. Like,
and
oh.
Also, Dr. Erica Abad, you're going to hear from her next week.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
Thank you so much, because I know she was also an advocate for us to come to UNLV and talk.
And it was beautiful to hear the dean of the school saying, reassuring me, because I'm afraid about being a podcaster, but also an academic. And she's like, no, like, stop.
She literally looked at you and said, you are the future.
Oh, dude, that low-key made me cry. But
I saw it. I was like, it's all right to cry. I almost started singing to you.
Because you know what? Feeling validated in a place where you haven't feel validated for so long, for many reasons where we don't have to get into, and doing in front of people was a little tough, but it was a great, great moment. And I feel like this is the beginning of Latinos Who Lunch doing a lot of things with UNLV.
Yeah, and I'm excited. And I'm excited to collaborate and just, and you know, it's funny because Latinos Who Lunch, I mean, you know, you're an art historian, I'm an artist. You would think that it would be the art department that calls on us first. But of course it's not, because Latinos Who Lunch is way more than that. It's about creating this like space, like a safe space for Latinx conversations and identity. And so it makes sense that it was like gender studies.
Yes.
That
interdisciplinary
that invited us to UNLV, you know? And hopefully the art department was present, so hopefully se ponen las fucking pilas and they hire us to do a more art-related talk, because most of the things that we talked about was art.
Was art. It was all about art. And also, so this week was a lesson for us, I think, because I did not feel validated in Las Vegas through Latinos Who Lunch. And the fact that we had this presentation and then that we had everybody at a merch music festival, we don't want to give you we're not going to give you details, but we're bringing you some badass conversations we had with performers.
Side note,
yes. But I just want to finish my thought.
Yeah.
The way that that people kept reassuring us how thankful they were that we were the first voices of the festival the first year. They kept telling us they paid us right away, again, without hesitation. And they kept us into consideration about everything. So with the Merch Music Festival and with our presentation with UNLV, it is the first time that I feel like, okay, this is a city for Latinos Who Lunch. There's a reason why we're here. And that felt really good, man. I really liked it.
Yeah. So yeah, we were at Emerge, and we're gonna bring you more episodes. We're not gonna say who we interviewed.
Bitch,
gonna,
my fantasies came true.
We're gonna keep that a secret until we come out, because we want to do like, I think we want to build special episodes around the interviews we got.
Yeah.
Because the people that we interviewed are so fucking cool.
Amazing.
So you're gonna hear that in the future, and I'm going to be traveling a lot, so I won't be in Las Vegas pretty much the whole year.
Nunca.
but so Babelito and I are also going to start recording these Guara Guara La Cuchara episodes, like today, where we talk about whatever.
This is why we have the studio
remotely
now,
like Cabronas y Chingonas does, yeah. Or like Call Your Girlfriend. By the way, Aminatu from Call Your Girlfriend recommended us last week.
No.
Yes, I didn't.
No way.
I didn't text you, bitch. What? But I almost laid a fucking egg. Yes. Yes.
Me surro.
She put us on her Instagram on her story. Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
I know. I love Call Your Girl. I mean, I used to listen to it really.
We made it.
We did it. Yeah. That's fucking cool.
That's it.
That's it. Wepa, wepa.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Oh.
So, I mean, I'm just so excited about this year, and I'm going to take my portable recorder, record conversations with people, maybe make it part of the podcast. Now we have the studio here at UNLV, which is really exciting. So you might hear some conversations with Babelito and some of his colleagues or people here in Vegas.
Yes.
Which will be really cool. So it's going to, I mean, Latinos for Lunch is always evolving. And
yeah.
So this year it's going to be a little different. So I know people get a little upset when we change the format a little, but it's not going to be any worse than it was last summer when I was in Florida. So
yeah, that's
that
true.
Was really bad. Yeah.
I remember we recorded and I was in the phone in the corner where there was more Wi-Fi in Puebla. So like, it's going to be different. And I mean, this is good. It just shows what I like about this transition and this process is that the listeners who started from day one, they've seen the growth. And I think that's a source of inspiration for a lot of people. So I take it as that, and that's it, man. That's it. But let's take a little break, shall we?
Yeah, I think it's time. Oye, Babelito.
Que pajón.
Have you been to the Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art recently?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Oh my gosh, what a gem in the heart of the city. At the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
It is amazing. And they have an incredible collection that dates, it's from like the Vegas artists from like the 90s. They just have really cool stuff.
It's so cool. So, I mean, there isn't an official like Las Vegas art museum. But here at the Barrick Museum, they have so many cool works. And right now, there is a show called Plural. And it'll be up through May 12th. Plural features artworks from the Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art's permanent collection that explore complex aspects of human identity through a range of traditional and unconventional media. Memory, passion, voice, excess, race, gender, and intersectionality are all brought into question as we search for ways in which a museum collection can reflect our multifaceted understanding of what we are.
Let me tell you, girl, I've taken my students to that exhibition, yes. And the papers that come out of that, it's amazing. So recommend it to everybody who comes and visits to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a lot more than the Strip.
Yes.
Just take a Lyft, not an Uber, because they're Trumpistas.
Everybody's
everybody's a fucking Trumpista. But it's 5 minutes from the Strip.
Yeah, and there's artworks from artists such as Crystal Ramirez. Crystal Ramirez does our photos for Latinos Who Lunch. Remember Lance Smith? He's been on a couple of our episodes.
Oh, yeah.
He has a really beautiful piece in the show. Our dear friend Wendy Kavek is in the show.
Michaela Widmore.
Oh, my. Oh, Michaela.
Yes.
Catherine Borg. Oh, my gosh. I love her work so much. My old roommate, Aaron Shepherd. It's just like,
there's a lot. It's so good.
There's a lot of amazing work in that show. So go check out Plural at the Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art here at UNLV now through May 12th. And we're back. Hi.
Hi.
All right. What are we doing, Babelito?
Why don't we do a listener letter?
Oh, yeah. We're going to start doing those more often.
Yes.
I mean, we've just been saying that for like 2 years. So if you have a question for Latinos Who Lunch, make sure to email us asklwlpod@gmail.com. That's right. Send your questions to asklwlpod@gmail.com and we might read it on one of our shows.
So this is a letter from one of our listeners. His name is Willow or Willote. I love that like name. The title of the email, Navigation Through Temptations. Outs, muerto. Hola, ¿qué onda? First, I wanted to say thank you for the space that you both are cultivating for the Latinx queer POC communities. You're welcome, girl. My question, with there being all these forms of social media and dating apps out there, how do you check in on your mental health? As a queer POC person, I find a lot of obstacles out there. Anonymity allows people to not have integrity when online. Ooh. Through all the ghosting, exoticism, and lending on that happens, it is hard to make a connection. Also, I sometimes fall into the vortex of the potentialities. I can spend hours browsing and being hooked on the prospect of meeting someone of substance. I usually am less frustrated and unfulfilled, even though I have the amazing support of friends and family in my life. So how do you balance being a sexual, loving being and navigating the distractions with today's technology? P.S. Favi, I am fond of you. We follow each other on Instagram, and I love to get to know you. Willote, we love you. Thank you so much for this letter.
Let's get into it. Oh, my God. Good show. Radio silence.
You starred.
What the fuck? Why did you read that question? Oh, what was the question? How do we manage dating while being...
With there being all these forms of social media and dating apps out there, how do you check in on your mental health? You know, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because I was in a relationship for a long, long, long time. So I didn't know what dating was in social media era.
Oh.
And it freaked the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Because I remember dating, you know, meeting people. So the first time I downloaded Tinder, it was scary. I wouldn't even go with Grindr because it was too much.
Yeah.
Like it's... I like meeting people, getting to know them, eating tacos, you know, instead of just being like, déjame te la meto y se acabó. Like, no, that's too much. That's too much for me. So I think I had Tinder downloaded for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it just felt like a Nazi exercise. Like, it just felt wrong the whole entire time.
You were always on it, so I don't know how wrong you felt.
I really felt weird.
You were obsessed.
It was, but I was. I met one person, maybe two person, and it was like a 5-minute thing. It wasn't that even...
Yeah.
It's just weird. It was the whole thing. You know, the whole thing is design. I don't know. It just, to me, doesn't work.
It's like a game.
It is like a game, but it's a fucked up game. But I mean, no tea, no shade. I'm sure a lot of people have met each other like that.
That's true.
And it's worked. Like, my sister met her husband. They have two beautiful kids through,
spill her business
through
good.
Online. You know, she won't matter. She won't care.
I know a lot of people that I've met through online, dating apps or hookup apps.
So, yeah, it's important.
But
it really fucked up a little bit with my mental health. Because dealing with certain things and work, and on top of that, reserving time to go through this process, like, it's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. At first, I thought, oh, cool. Like, we have this podcast, so a lot of people know us. So I met a lot of people that actually found me on Tinder and stuff through the podcast.
Really?
And
was that weird?
It's very weird because then they know everything about you and then you don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
So then it becomes this weird, I think it's unhealthy. I actually think it's unhealthy.
Yeah, I agree.
From the couple of experiences that I've had. Also, I'm really bad at dating or just like any sort of relationship, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like the only reason that I do it is just to be like, feel like I'm normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I really don't want to be doing that. And actually, the people that I've never really been in a relationship, like a long relationship, and the people that I've like hooked up with or whatever, most of them have been people that I've met in real life.
Mm.
Like, you're at a bar or you meet them at whatever, and then you end up getting blacked out drunk and you end up in a gutter with them somewhere. You know what I mean? That's usually my storyline.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Shout out to Scum.
Oh. So, yeah.
You're like, oh.
Ooh. Oh yeah, I remember. I was like, but, hey. At the last come, I was like, "Hey, you look familiar," and the guy was like, "Yeah, remember we were like the last thing."
Shit,
and I was like, no! "I remember you. I remember you." That was a fucking mess, bitch. Never again.
I was applauding from the sidelines.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It was fun. Yeah. Shout out to everyone. I had fun. So.
But see, like, I also, in this, like, time that I was dating, it was, everybody was in person.
Yeah.
Everybody was in person because it felt organic and natural as opposed to, like, you are meeting just for that reason as opposed to, like, oh, shit, we had a conversation first. I don't know, like, in terms of the actual mental health, it's something that people need to keep in mind, because if you don't understand and you realize that this might take a lot of energy from you, it could be desgastante, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have, I feel like part of taking care of yourself while going through this process to finding your next love is understanding that this process is, ¿cómo se dice desgastante? Like it's,
I don't know.
Like it's just gonna take stuff from you, and just keep that in mind so you keep yourself checked. Otherwise you're gonna spend like, I don't know, like 6 months, a year investing all this time and energy, and then next time you check yourself, like there's a lot of damage, and you don't want that. You don't want that, because this should also be fun. I mean, if you're single, this should also be a time in your life where you're getting to, you know a lot of people and have fun.
Yeah, so dating for me is not fun. It is stressful.
It is stressful.
And like just in the past year or so, just with my experiences, it's awkward and I don't like it. So then what does that say about me? Like there's something wrong with, there's something mentally wrong with
me. No. I know exactly what you're saying, because when you meet somebody, especially if you meet somebody online, exclusively to go date, like just going from point A to point C and skipping point B, it can be strange. It is fucking strange. It's always like, we both, like, it's strange. However, if there's the process of meeting somebody in person and the intentions are fucking, let's have a conversation before you can even start thinking about other intentions, then it's more organic. And that's, I feel like maybe that's part of the part that you're missing, that if you just date somebody, meet somebody to date, as opposed to go through the process of human interaction, you know, like I went on a couple of dates, dude, and it was awkward and weird. And even though I have 1,000 topics and things to talk about, I always find myself without a conversation. I'm like, it's just weird. And it has nothing to do with that person. It has nothing to do with me. It's just that the way this system was designed is just, it's for people that are in it. And some people are experts at it. And some people know exactly what they want. Some people know exactly how to do it because they've done it a lot. I haven't, so I felt fucking awkward and weird. And it's scary. It's fucking scary.
Yeah, it's also like, I feel like a lot of times I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is so fucking boring.
Yes!
I just want to meet somebody that is like, I don't know, I always have to be fucking on, and I'm like, it would just be nice to meet somebody that's easy, you know, like, dates are just so awkward in the first place.
They
it's
are
like
awkward.
You walk into a place and you're like, oh, cool, hey, you look like your picture. Oh, you don't. Okay, would I still fuck you? Okay, cool, let's keep talking.
See, like,
that's what's happening, to be frank.
Yes.
You know, that's what's happening. And you're like, instead of just like meeting somebody like, I don't know.
And after a 20-minute conversation, maybe you're start like, thinking about,
oh, I like you.
Yes.
Like, oh, you're funny.
Yes.
Like, it's such a the intent is so different.
Completely
but
different.
But also, like, I come from, like, a very, what is the word, repressed childhood.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it's also a lot of hang-ups on my point, because we have a lot of friends that are just, like, out there fucking everybody, and they're fine, and they don't even have to look at the person's face, and they're, you know what I mean? Like,
girl, I can do that. I fucking can do that.
Sometimes I wish I could do that.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Baby steps.
I know what you're saying.
I feel like I'm gonna die tomorrow, and I might as well just take advantage.
But I don't know. Like, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, I think that's the beauty of meeting people. That, like what you said right there, that word assessment. That assessment aspect of going, like, seeing a picture and then assessing in person and then going to bed, even though some people master it and it should be a big deal because it's just fucking sex, it's still very personal, and I cannot get over that. So I know exactly what you're saying. To me, the whole entire thing is just weird. It's strange.
I like the fact that I travel a lot, and so that I can be, like, anonymous, like, when I'm in another city.
Yeah.
But multiple times it's happened that I think that the person that I'm on a date with doesn't know anything about me.
And they do.
And then, like, the second time I see them, like, I'm like, oh, this bitch knows exactly who I am. And I'm not going to say any names or details, but I found out through another friend one time that this person had been following me for years, basically. And I'm like, fuck, like, they totally, it was such a fucking betrayal. Cause I thought, oh, like, they seem like they have no idea, and they just like art and they like everything that I like, but they were, like, saying things that they knew that I was interested in.
That's weird.
It was fucked up. So yeah, it's hard. I don't know.
It's very hard. Just
or not. Yeah.
Right. Like, maybe we're just, like, super viejitos, right?
I think I'm too old.
Todos pinches millennials are like, ay, no mames.
I know. I'm too old. Yeah. I'm too old. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. We're the bad people to give advice.
That is the most correct thing. We are the worst two people to ask about dating advice. For real.
I've dated for 4 months. That's it. And then I jump into another relationship. Like, I don't know. So I don't even know. I don't fucking even know. Yeah. Like, I don't even know.
I don't know. So anyway, great question. We couldn't answer it.
What a mess. Never mind.
I see you, and you will be getting DMs from me pretty soon. Yes! Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Messy, messy, messy.
I know. That's your middle name, bitch. Okay.
I was talking about you, not about me.
Oh, girl, don't lie. I know who you are. So, let's get into recommendations, Babalekis.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was complaining about not being enough releases for me to recommend. This week,
album releases.
Yes.
Okay.
This week is on fire. One of my favorite bands, Beach House, came out with another single. The album promises to be amazing. Fucking Cardi B is doing her fucking thing. The album is actually pretty good. I liked it, but I'm gonna do the same recommendations that everybody else. I'm gonna recommend again my favorite kid coming from Mexico City, Sailor Fag, came out with another fucking single, and he's killing it. It's so good. I'm not even going to tell you. Just listen. And this name of the song is Inventadas y Modernas. This kid is amazing. He's the fucking future, man. Inventadas y Modernas, a single by Sailor Fag. And also one of our favorite bands, shout out to Balloon. They listen to us, man. Like, when I find they listen to us, we get messages from them.
They,
like,
really listen to us?
Dude, me cago.
No, like, way. Where are they based out of?
In New York.
Bish, I'm coming to New York. Let's make this happen.
Oh my God. So when
When
I find out through Richardina that they listen to us, me morí.
Wow.
So shout out to Angelica from Balloon, who we've been messaging. It's so beautiful. But they also came out with a single, and this is one of the songs featured in our episode in Song Mess that just came out also this week.
Go listen to Song Mess. We're on there, both of us, at the same time. That
the song
fun.
Is called El Espanto by Balloon, and this is for their album that is coming out, I think, in the summer. I can't wait. Balloon is one of the coolest fucking Latinx bands out there right now, and everything they put out, it's gold. Again, it's El Espanto by Balloon, and shout out to everybody in the band, because we love you and we can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah. Okay, great. Great recommendations, Babalito. Thank you. Well, I'm going to recommend a couple of artists. One of them, his name is José Villalobos, and I love his work. It's so awesome. And when I first saw his work, I immediately laughed. I love work that makes me crack up, but then it's also, like, serious
work.
Super
serious, yeah.
And you might have seen his work. He does these pieces where he stacks sombreros with fringe on them. And I mean, they're referencing so much, right? And his work just makes me so happy. So if you want to check out his work, it's josevillalobosart.com. Support
brown artists.
Yes, Latinx artists. Yes.
He's a native from El Paso, right?
Really?
Yes. And we've been talking online because we have a lot of things in common, being from La Frontera. And I've been following his work for a while now. I know he had recently a performance with Rafa Esparza.
Oh, yeah.
El Sancha. So it just looked amazing. So check all of those artists out. But Villalobos, he is going to be in everybody's radar because his art is absolutely amazing. As a norteño, I'm obsessed with everything that you do. So,
José Villalobos, who do you say? Rafa Esparza?
Rafa Esparza.
If you don't know him, come on, get your life together.
Get your shit together.
And then El Sancha.
El Sancha.
Yes. Those are great recommendations right there.
Damn.
Yeah, check those artists out. They're fucking badass. And, you know, you might hear from one or two of them soon here on Latinos Who Lunch. We're really excited.
Oh,
no, stop. Don't do that. You know I hate that.
I hate that too, but like Cardi B the other day was doing it. She goes, and I thought it was so funny.
It's so annoying. How does Jimmy Fallon have a job? You know, she co-hosted The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
And she killed it.
She killed it. But Jimmy Fallon is awful. How is he a host? He is so bad.
Why mediocrity?
Oh, my God. He's so bad. Because you know what? Seth Meyers has a show.
Yeah.
And I watched his show. And I saw his interview with Tiffany Haddish, for example. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, so relaxing to watch his show. Like, not uncomfortable at all.
Because
like,
he's a good interviewer.
He is the whitest white man ever, too, right? But he knows how
to
talk
good.
To people.
Yeah.
He knows how to form a sentence. Jimmy Fallon can't even form a fucking sentence. Put your life together. How does this happen? Anyway, shout out to Cardi B. She did great.
Yeah, she's killing
it.
Oh,
my God.
She just broke record of downloads on iTunes, like over 100 million.
Yeah.
And speaking of, in Emerge,
yeah,
Coco is the only person that sold out that festival. Coco. Did I say Coco? Damn.
Bitch,
Coco, which shows you that festivals need to be hiring us. Music festivals
we'll get
need
into
to
this
hire
in a later episode. Yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Latinos because we bring the people, we're bringing the money. You should have been paying attention to this like 20, 30 years ago. I'm glad
the floor almost fell through
at
the Coco show. The floor was moving.
I was like, I was with Emmanuel. I'm like, we gotta fucking go. This feels so weird. It was so great.
That's great.
Shout out to Coco. Anyway, that's it, man. What a wonderful wada wada.
What a wonderful wada wada. I know. Okay. Well, let me do this last part of the episode. Should I do it on my roller coaster operator?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Shit. Let me try. Here we go. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Follow us online, hashtag LWLpod. And don't forget, email us your questions. Ask LWLpod@gmail.com. And if you have a moment, please go on iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have,
the more, como se dice, we are. No sé, güey.
We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcast. Well, no, you don't listen. I fucked it up
Let's
already.
Do it.
Anyway, we're on the internet. Google it, locas. I'm Fabi Fav.
And
today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Lagunas. Our marketing manager is Hector Aguilar. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Chow, chow, chow.
You sound like you're passing a kidney stone, bitch.
O cagando.
Bye.
Chow.